Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, just when I think the days of summer are about to close, they're calling for some 90-degree days again. So anyway, I'm glad for air conditioning. I'm glad that you're here. This is a time of year, traditionally in our area, everything gets reset. Everything gets rearranged. Kids go back to school. Crops are going to come in pretty soon. And just all kinds of things happen. And I find for our area, it's much like it would be in Israel or the Old Testament church. The fall was the beginning of a proclamation of things to come, a resetting of life to experience God's goodness again, a kind of a setting of the tone for things that we expect. I want you to experience a season like that of renewal from the person of the Holy Spirit. For a few Sundays now, we've been talking about the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we do that because He's God with us now. He's the one in the earth with us to help us accomplish God's plan and God's vision. God's plan is always to prosper us, to give us a hope and an expected end for something better than we could ever have on our own. He's God's agent of enrichment, and He does that while He's living in our life. He does that by degree according to how much room we give Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world. And I hear that preached a lot, and I appreciate the fact we're not to be conformed to this world. But he goes on to say the more important part, we're to be transformed into something not of this world. Something that God designed from the beginning when He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He expected something that they would experience in fellowshipping with Him, that they would become increasingly like Him in how they lived. That's what the Holy Spirit has in store for us as we listen to Him and do the things that He says to do. Our life becomes more of what God intended instead of a substitute. Now, if you experience a substitute or a generic in most anything, it may seem great or good to you until you compare it to the real thing. Now, I know there are many advocates of the generic drug, the generic cola. I'm telling you, you can have your generic cola. I've got my pick, and it's not going to be the same, and you cannot trick me in a blind taste test to which is which. Understand what God has for you is meant for your real taste. And until you experience what He has for you, the generic, the substitute, seems good enough. But when you get hooked on the real deal, I can't say real thing, that's a name brand, but the real deal, you want that. You will get up in the night and look in the refrigerator, and there's the fake. But two blocks down at Casey's is the real deal. Even if it's a dollar more expensive than it's supposed to be, and it's the middle of the night and you're in pajama pants, if you want it bad enough, you go get it. The Holy Spirit wants you to be hooked on the God kind of life. Amen. To where the substitute is not enough. And you will take a risk of maybe being seen in your PJs, or having to walk an extra block, or whatever you've got to do to get it, you step out to get it. People don't understand addiction in that, understand this, God put in you a capacity to be addicted to Him and what He has, and to crave a transformed kind of life. Think of it this way. You are the generic cola in the refrigerator being turned into the real thing. Even your outside label's got to be changed, or you will be seen as a fraud. Our life changes that much. We become a package of what God intends to be an everlasting flow of something good. The one that every time you open the refrigerator, it's full again. It's not depleted. We're those kind of people. The kind that as much as there's something pouring out, God opens the other end of the bottle and pours in while we're pouring out. And His pouring in is always going to be more sufficient than our pouring out. Scripture says that's who the Spirit of truth is. When we allow Him to use what He's doing in our life to bless others on the outside, He will pour a lot more onto the inside. And that's a principle of generosity that is attached to the person of the Holy Spirit. He does not like being God with only measure in your life. He needs to be God and wants to be the God of overflow, overabundance, and overmeasure, so there's more than enough of Him coming into you to help others who don't have much of Him. That's how He is and how He thinks. Out there in Romans 12, 2, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We begin to think differently. As I share with you about the person of God living in you, who is always with you, who will never leave you or forsake you, if you meditate on Him and get in touch with Him a little bit more, He can change you a whole lot more. Why? We should have an objective to be changed, to become more and more like Jesus the longer that we are here. Unlike many things in this life, you grow better with age if you are in the Spirit, if you are connected to the Holy Spirit. You are more like a fine wine that ages, and they look at the label and go, ooh, this one was created in 1927. Anybody here start life in 1927? See if I got a good number. Nobody? Am I close? Russell, what year? 29. I was close. 1929 vintage. And there are several vintages about like that sprinkled around here. Better with age. More precious in what's poured out. A little bit more refined. A little bit less edge. A little bit nicer waft, if you're going to smell it. I'm not a connoisseur, but I've watched people who are. They pour it, they turn the glass, and they pour it in just right. And they got to sniff it to decide if it's going to taste good or something. That's called savoring. God loves the next thing to be poured out of you so much that He never stops pouring into you His nature, and He allows it to take on a little bit of you as it flows back out, because you represent Him. You are the label of His next best thing about to come. The Holy Spirit is the author of showing us things to come. If you expect what's going to pour out of your life to be sweet and wonderful, that's what's coming. He gives you the ability to make up your mind. That's what it means by renewing your mind. You begin to understand what's happening inside of you is meant to bless people on the outside of you. It's meant for God to do His great work in you to make you better, all right. To make you feel better and be excited. Imagine while He's fixing you up. He's imbibing you with His Holy Spirit to make you feel good too at the same time, but not just for you, more for a life that's about to come out of you, because you are His agent to transform the world. He changes you. He transforms you. He changes your mind, because then out of you flows something from God that will change people's minds about Him. They will look and they will say, something is different there. Now, we want it to be the right kind of difference. The renewing of your mind that you may prove, or you may be God's proving ground or example of that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That means this will happen to you bit by bit, little by little, We would like instant presto, change-o, perfect-o. The longer he ruminates in you and stirs in you, the better what's coming out. Amen. Now, he first does this work in us called transformation and changes our mind, and it changes our words. And when our words come out differently, it changes our future, and our future is better than what we're trapped in right now. If you're trapped in now, it's only because the Holy Spirit has not yet authored through your mouth what your future will be. He transforms you on the inside to change what you think and what you believe. In this church, one transformation you need to embrace is that God in you is bigger and greater than the world on the outside, and he can't wait to bust out through your life to change things around you. That's how he blesses your life. That's how he blesses others with your life, is he wants that new life of Jesus, for Jesus to be the author of something flowing out of you that is beyond your ability to contain, something more than you have on your own. That's what he has for you. Now, God gave us a law in the scripture of transformation. He set some things in motion that are up to him. I'm glad of this. I'm glad God has things that are not going to change. Even when I'm messing around or don't understand it or learning, he's still moving me in a right direction because he's in control of moving me toward the destiny he's planned in my life. And that causes me to not give up when there's a dark moment. That causes me to not get as irritated at myself. Why? We can beat ourselves up all day long. It does not accomplish the will of God. It just makes us hurt, makes us aggravated, and causes us to think about problems. God wants you to understand that he's a counselor always encouraging you in your next best step. It will always involve God doing something in you so that he can then do something through you. When we focus on God only working on us, we become selfish in the worst kind of way. He wants us to recognize when he's doing something in here, it's to share and make a difference for others. That's who he is. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 tells us about this law of transformation. And it's really simple, but it has an if in it. You know, I used to hate the word if growing up because it usually was the difference between getting what I wanted and not getting what I wanted. If you clean your room, you can have ice cream. If the green beans are also picked before dark and you help do the dishes. That's a lot of if, isn't it? Now, God is simpler than that. He puts if out there and he lets us know in our own heart. For you to be transformed into good, acceptable, and perfect, for the will of God to be in your life like that, it's between you personally and God. He has some ifs for you. They are the ifs that cause you to come into his transforming power and ability. So it's not just about you. Your Christian walk should not be about working and struggling. It should be simply about hearing what God's condition is for your next best thing. And you will find that sometimes God's if is as simple as if you open the oven and take out the pan, you can eat all the cookies. Once in a while, Grandma would throw that out at me and say, you have as many as you want if you go get them out of the oven, because she'd be on the couch resting, watching TV, and they were ready. She'd smell the air. I think they're done. Will you go get them out of the oven? Yes, ma'am. You go get them out of the oven. Can I have one? You can have as many as you want. Thank you for getting them out of the oven. God is generous. Remember who the Holy Spirit is in this. The if is to your benefit. It's going to accomplish something for God, but his if always has in mind to give something, to get something to you. If is there because it's God's way to overcome the enemy's stronghold on your life. A simple act of obedience is better than just a willingness on God's part. He's looking for the willingness, but he's looking for the obedience in the little if. And it causes heaven to be able to break through the barrier to earth and get something into your hands that the enemy has been able to withhold until now. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. He's not out to give kudos to God. He's out to get what God has to you. That's what he's out to do. So when if is there, God knows that the if is the condition that breaks the back of the enemy and causes the power of God to work in your life, because the if is attached to what's going to happen through you, not just what's going to happen to you. See, he's interested in what's next, and he learns to trust us because we're going to allow there to be a flow out into others' lives. Transformation is never just for you. It's first for you, but it's really for everybody else too. Now, Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass. That means it's a promise of God. If you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. We do that today by listening to what does the scripture say, and I'm going to do it. We hear something preached and we decide, I'm going to employ that in my life. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do that. And then diligently comes because we keep doing. We don't just do it a one-time thing and say, well, that was good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's happening in my life. And do a little dance and go on about our business. That isn't diligently. You know, there was, growing up, there was doing the dishes. Then there was doing the dishes. And the latter was the expectation. It meant you wash, you dry, you put away, you tidy up, you vacuum the carpet. We had carpeted kitchen. You vacuum the carpet and wipe the table. Yeah, it was a terrible thing. Don't put carpet in your kitchen. We learned that in the 70s. It felt good, and then it looked awful. Anyway, I share that because there's always something that God has he wants to get to us. And when we experience either feeling empty or frustrated, it's because we've gotten to a low ebb in something that he wants to do. And never feel selfish that God wants to do something for you. When you let him do something for you, he can then do something through you. We make a mistake when we try to deliver for God something that's not happened in ourselves. What happens is you deplete your reserves, and you're like an empty cistern. The snakes will get in. That's what will happen. Now, you don't know what a cistern is. I'll talk about that in a little bit. He said, if you will observe and do these commandments that I command you this day. And he made our commandments easy. Love God with all our heart. And love one another as he loved us. That means we let him work in our heart. Then we share what work he did in our heart with other people. So that they can get the seed of what God just did in us to help them. Now, then the Lord your God will set you on high above the nations of the earth. That means our life is choice driven. Scripture says we'll serve one of two masters. Many times today people are deceived into thinking they are their own master. That's the most dangerous place to be, so selfish that we don't acknowledge God or the devil. But we're going to serve one or the other. The way we know we're safe is we choose on purpose to serve the Lord. And we bring him into our choices. The Holy Spirit is the author of transformation. He does that through our choices. We hear God's word, we're moved by his spirit, we're somehow inspired by something that we heard, we think, that's good, that's in the scripture, I want to do that. Then we have choices to make. The Holy Spirit is, of course, interested in what word you hear, because that's the seed of God going into you. But he is more concerned about your next step, because God's word is God's will. It's forever settled in heaven, and you can't mess with God's word. But when you hear it and it comes into your heart, you have a choice to make. The Holy Spirit is in the center of your choices to protect what he sees as Heavenly Father's investment in you. The Holy Spirit is at that moment of choice where he knows the right choice will transform your life into a blessing kind of direction, and the wrong choice will stagnate you or take you backward. See, the seed has to be watered by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he loves to jump in as soon as the seed is planted, as soon as God's word comes into our heart. The Holy Spirit is there wanting to water that so that we will, in our choices, allow him to rain on the seed. So many times people do not receive the promise of God's word because they don't let it be watered. The Holy Spirit also is the protector of God's investment. I've shared that with you a few weeks ago. He is jealous over you for what you will produce in your life, so much so that he guards and protects God's word working in your heart, and he comes to water you like you are God's garden. He waters through right decisions. He waters through faith-filled decisions where we say, I am doing this knowing that the result belongs to God. I'm going to yield myself. And we make choice after choice, and most of the choices are little choices. Most of the choices in your day are little choices. You might remember and put stock in the one single really important thing you have to do that day. And if you're not careful, you move God out of all the little choices and you just make one good choice when God's interested in helping direct every little choice to your advantage. He's wanting you to maximize the if in the promise in Deuteronomy. He's wanting you to become the diligently in the promise in Deuteronomy so that he can be the outpouring of abundance into your life. And it all comes down to the if of your decisions to honor the Lord and hearken to his word and say, I'm going to be diligent about this. And I'm going to change the way I'm talking about some things. In that regard, you know, I hear people preach, you can sow your way out of everything. That's half true. You've got to get the watering too. If you've ever been in a desert when it's dry, it doesn't look like much. It's not green. Looks pretty parched. But I've been in the same desert about a week after a good heavy rain. Amazing what comes up and grows. When water hits a desert that hasn't hit it in that volume in 100 years, things grow and bloom that have never been seen by anybody living before. That's what God has put in you. And you can hear the scripture, and word is planted into you. Promises are planted into you. And we make a point here that you're going to get a lot of seed sown into you from God's word. It's his word, and it's forever settled in heaven. And it is going to grow what God said it is going to grow if we get the watering of his Holy Spirit in our decisions, and we let him bring the rain from heaven into our decisions that causes the desert in our life to be transformed. There's a lot of scripture about that, so much I couldn't bring it in 10 weeks, so I'm not bringing it all today. But I want you to know it's all over the scripture. God promises that if we will let him bring the rain, the seed will grow. God initiated the law of seed. Now, choices drive transformation. If you're not changing, you have two elements to look at. What seed am I receiving? And what am I doing with it? See, the seed in itself isn't enough. We have to have the Holy Spirit bring that refreshing, bring that rain, bring that sustenance. I can plant a garden. I plant gardens. They do good as long as there's rain, but I've learned something in Illinois. Plant close to an inexhaustible water source. We've had a dry spell. If you have a garden, if you're eating tomatoes today, you probably watered them a few weeks ago. If not, your tomatoes are smaller than mine in Gibson City. Why? Because we learn that there's a sustenance required, and I could stand in my bathroom on the second floor and look out over the tomato patch, and I could tell from my shower if they need a drink or not because they start to not look like they ever had that feeling on the inside, something just not. It's not a lack of seed, you're full of seed. It's a lack of His Spirit. It's a lack of refreshing. It's a lack of encouragement. It's a lack of thinking about God wanting your life to be filled with His goodness. Now, God instituted seed to release life cycles. But the seed in you is not enough without the water of His Holy Spirit. Seed in the Scripture is always God's Word. Water is always a type of His Spirit. How pitiful to have the potential. How terrible to plant a garden and then let it go. When the power is within our words to speak out over and see life change, and it will change, and it will get better, and it will be different. Now, Psalm 24, verse 1 shows God's in His ownership in the world and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now, He's talking about God putting some things in motion here. And He put seed, He put plants, He put things in the Garden of Eden. God put seed in the earth as His way to initiate life cycle again and again and again. And this isn't as much, this isn't really a sermon about giving. This is a sermon about recognizing what's in you. The seed of God's promise is planted in you again and again and again when you hear God's word. But then there's the need to initiate the life cycle. There's a need to put the water. There's a need to get it to germinate. A few years ago when it was really dry, I had a big garden out at my brother's house, and it was dry that spring. I couldn't get things to come up. I had to recognize it's been 5 days. Things should be breaking the ground, certain things. And when they weren't, I pulled that garden hose out there. I said, oh no, we're not leaving you in the ground. Oh no, I'm not going to have all of this digging and all of this expense and all of this. I'm not going to have a crop failure because I didn't do the one more step. How much nicer 3 years before when it rained an inch every week all summer long. I had to run out there and till fast before the next storm came to get the weeds out. Did you know in life there will always be challenges, but God always has more than enough to help you if you will listen to make the right decisions at the right moment? He will not only sustain you, but He will cause you to have, you will become the kind of life that people stop and look at. They say, how did that work out for them? Doesn't make sense. See, people will not know the seed that's in you. Nobody can judge that or determine what you let get planted in you of God's word, except Jesus calls Himself the Lord of the harvest. He knows. He's not after the seed. He's after what happens in our decisions when the Holy Spirit waters the seed and it produces something even beyond our expectation. And that's what the plan of God always looks like. Now, God gives us His nature with this law and some responsibility. The responsibility is to make good decisions. Good decisions can be compounded over time. When I wanted a good garden, I had to go back really every other day. It's about what it takes. Why? Because I don't know the conditions somewhere else. It might rain in Gibson, but not in Forest. Or it might come a flood in Forest and be dry in Gibson, and I had a garden in Forest. So I'd have to go to Forest or call and say, did it rain? Yeah, 6/10. Okay, it'd be too muddy to do anything today. I'm not coming up. But by the next day, it'd be dry. I'd have to pay attention and make decisions to be a nurturer instead of blaming the garden or blaming God for the outcome. So we learn to be a nurturer. Now, this is Genesis chapter 2, pretty close to the beginning of your book. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man had a responsibility. We still in our walk with God have a responsibility to make right decisions, to take right actions. Rather than think the devil is stopping God's plan in your life, recognize it's more likely you not initiating the if back there in Deuteronomy 28 or the diligently in Deuteronomy 28. I learned that I had to spray the the broccoli and the cabbage and a lot of things about every 6 days. If I wait 7, things were eating them by then. Why? You learn the life cycle of pests coming into the garden. There's a reason why God said we need to be together once a week, the beginning of the week. Get rid of the pests. Get rid of the stuff in the garden. And, well, anyway, I go on into that, but I won't. Dress it and keep it. That's how we have compounded right decisions. It's what Adam and Eve were supposed to do. Dress it means to serve God's interests in the garden. We're there to take care of it for Him. Our life is a picture of tending what's in the earth for Him. Jesus Himself is the Lord of the harvest, so we know that He has an expectation. When I would be out there working and pulling weeds, there's a stage in the garden around here about mid-June. You better be pulling little weeds as fast as you can, or they will tower over everything you plant in the garden. Why? When moisture is rich, everything grows. When moisture is rich, there's competition in your life. When you think you are really doing well, it's easy to get distracted and the crop yield will be less. So what do? You get out there and say, I can envision what this is going to look like when it turns into an abundance. And it's work. It is a kind of work to produce for God. It's a discipline that we take on when Jesus is our Lord, that our life is more than just what we see or what we eat or what we earn. It's more than that. Now, we serve God's interest by first getting direction from Him. Secondly, we have to, He came to the garden every day, every morning to fellowship with Adam and Eve. God wanted a place to give direction to man, so He put us in the earth. And He said, this is going to be the place I nurture them, and they become like Me. And he did that because He wanted fellowship with us. He loves spending time with us. But He wanted a family. He wanted everybody in the earth to be His family and to not have a broken up family like He has right now today, with some who love Him and believe in Him and others that want nothing to do with Him. So now He wants to work through our lives to expand the border of the garden, to expand what we would call the church. The church isn't the church until we tear down the walls around the garden and let everybody see who Jesus is and that they want the water too. And the water comes through a person. It comes through people. So for anybody to change associated with your life to enjoy the goodness of God, first God changes you. He changes me on the inside. And He gives us the capacity and then the ability to flow out and have something to share with somebody else that is meaningful. And here's something to watch out for. If you're not sharing and flowing out into the lives of others, you've become stagnant. God intends for our life to produce rivers of living water flowing out. But at first, when Jesus comes to live on the inside, we become a bubbling well, an artesian well, a flowing well, springing up into everlasting life. And when you meet a new believer and they're really newly born again and spirit-filled and they're excited, they just are talking about Jesus all the time. And about half what they say is not making sense, but they're so excited they don't care because they're just going to share what little they know, and probably you're going to learn or hear something maybe they don't know. But what is it? It's a flow of something good, and it tends to cause people to turn their attention to be something good. Then that same Christian can quit spending time with the Lord or spending time in fellowship with other believers, and they become a cistern instead of a flowing well. I grew up with flowing wells over by Ridgeville. Then I moved south of town, a mile south of the church, to a house. We had a well out here, but we had cisterns. That house was built in the Great Depression. And they didn't have a well yet, so they made tanks in the ground and ran all the water off the house and the garage into these tanks, and it was a cistern system. Now, the year we got married, 1984, it got pretty dry in the fall. And we had things planted around in a garden and this and that, and I'm wanting my bride to have a wonderful experience and be glad that she married me and always want to stay with me. And the well was having problems. The well was not keeping up. The well was literally running out of water. Well, then there's the cistern system. So It's late August, early September, about right now in the year, and we've been married about a month and a half, and back in our home, and we're running out of water. And I'm thinking, this girl, not used to having hardships on the farm. So I decided to fire up the cisterns, and the cisterns went into the toilet and into the shower in the basement, but not into the drinking water, and thank God. But I decided I better look in the cistern. What's in here? Well, this time of year, the crickets come out. I made a fatal mistake. I looked in. It looked good. I put the lid down. I went in the house, came out, and there's crickets in the cistern. Now, understand what your life looks like. God put a reserve, a reservoir in you, so that if you do get to a low place in the well and the well isn't springing up anymore, I could go in the basement, flip a switch, and have cistern water. And I could serve it to Brian if he came over and pretend it was really good. And if the crickets hadn't been in there too long, he might be convinced this is refreshing. But I know it's less than it's supposed to be, because that's the best the world has to offer when they're not connected to the person of the Holy Spirit. See, we're not meant to tap into the reservoir to bless somebody with. That's just to flush the toilet. You can think about that. He said to keep it as well. That means to guard and preserve and protect it. Understand your relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. We like to say the person of Jesus. We think that way, but His Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is to be our most precious asset in relationship, because He is the one that makes a supernatural difference in our life. He's the one that gives us the ability to not have a cistern life, but at a minimum have a flowing well. He wants for us to so increase in our right decisions because of Him. Our right decisions will produce not one river, but rivers of living water. That it seems as though the things in your life begin to turn, and increasingly they improve. And you know it isn't just you being, I'm just blessed. No, you can trace it to, I have made many right anointed decisions because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Nobody gets to that kind of abundant life by making three good decisions. We make a series of them. And if the enemy can get in and get us off track by one big mistake we made and make us think there will never again be anything great or divine happen, remember, he's a liar. Boot him out and say, oh, no, no, I am reset. I'm pushing the reset button. It does not matter that I need to hit this reset button. It is there by God's design. He said, if I hearken diligently, he will. So I am pushing the reset button, and that is me hearkening diligently, and he is going to back up his word, and he's going to bring the rain that I need to produce something in this dry place. And that's what he will do. Now, Jesus gave us his Spirit to want to restore. He gave us his Spirit not just for us. He gave us his Spirit, and there comes a point that we recognize him doing good things through us, that we want to be a help to other people. You've heard me say for some time now that this is a year we're going to shift over into greater outreach and do more in the community and more for hurting people. Why? Because I'm a little bit forcing our church to think about, what's God doing in me? Did you know that some seed in you has a greater benefit to others than we'll have for you? God just wants you to be the steward of receiving the rain and nurturing the harvest so that he can help bless other people. So, well, God's never used me that way. He said, if you hearken diligently. He said there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter days. He said it would include all people. It would particularly and especially come on the younger ones. Why? God wants to suddenly cause his army to be about double what the world thinks that it is. so that the blessing of God can again come into the earth and the dry places become watered again. And even the place that we live in and the nation that we live in hail back to King Jesus again instead of self and selfishness. God has something in mind. This is 2 Corinthians. I want to end in the New Testament with a letter written to a church. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord, speaking of Jesus, is that Spirit. Why? He's three in one. The Holy Spirit is here to help us do Jesus' vision. Jesus didn't save you just to save you. He saved you to save the world through you. Now the Lord is that Spirit. I like the word now. Because I believe right now, this morning, something will change over you that will cause transformation to be kick-started for some.
Amen.
For some, it'll be going to another level, but really, for most, it will be like the dam opening up on the lake that you didn't know was built above you, holding everything back. And the Holy Spirit has a way of not just cracking open the dam. With your words, He sends a blast of dunamis power. It's hard to make dunamis power only do a little. You got to be so good at it that the risk is high to make it do a little when it is meant to do a lot. The Holy Spirit is not controlled by our expectation. He's moved by God's expectation. For harvest. He's motivated. We're not going to motivate Him. We're just going to get in line with what He already said. He's motivated enough. Why? He's explosive power waiting for a place to land because we speak out something. That's who He is. Now the Lord is that Spirit right now. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you're here today and you have less liberty, He wants to blast something out of your way. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is concerned about God's investment. He is concerned about opening up the flow through you, so He will open it up to you.
Yes.
He doesn't open it up to you to bottle up in you. He opens it up to you so that there can be an advantage downstream. You can't use everything up for you. There's people God put in the earth to depend on you getting extra from God so a flow can come into them. And then their hope gets built up and they get encouraged and they decide, if He can do it, I can do it. Have you ever been in an organization where you have looked to people who are ahead of you? Pyramid sales is a great example of this. Where you come in and you are inspired, this is a good product. Okay, let me try it. Oh, and it makes you feel good and it works. And you go, I'm on board with this. And you're on the pyramid. And you are a consumer. And you are taking the vitamins or whatever it is. And you are feeling good. So you're telling everybody, I'm feeling good. And you're feeling so good about it, you're hoping everybody notices. And if they don't notice, you're telling them why you're feeling good. And you've got new energy. And then pretty soon others are saying, well, hey, if that's working for you, how can I do that? See, this is how God arranged the kingdom. He arranged the kingdom so that every connection creates a benefit. And it isn't a scheme on God's part. It's a plan to bring us into the kingdom because there is an appeal to seeing supernatural help in somebody's life that everybody wants. And people have to humble themselves to decide to serve the Lord, to get in on it. There's an entry point. His name is Jesus. But there's an empowerment that comes when we become a part of the organization He calls His church. That's where the power flows. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, this is a reality. We're taking the blinders off. We're going to recognize if we're not experiencing the goodness of God, we've got to remove some blinders. It's not God and it isn't the devil. It's we've got to take the blinders off to make right decisions. Right decisions to constantly honor the Lord that compounds over time. Now, we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, we hear His word and we hear what He wants to do and we keep seeing it. We keep seeing it and He says then we are being transformed into the same image. You have to embrace God's vision for transformation or you can't be transformed. You have to begin to see it and embrace it and maybe write it down. I like to write things down. I used to, especially when I was younger, take a picture of something that represented somewhere I wanted to go or something I wanted in my life or whatever. When I was a young man, we had Bible studies out of the house, and young men came out one day, a bunch of young men. We were all young men, a lot of us in the church in those days. They went up in my upstairs bathroom, which is sort of off limits, but a bunch of them went up there. What were they doing? Snooping. See, how does pastor live, the single guy live? They went in my bathroom. I'll tell you a secret about my bathroom. It had lots of pictures of pretty women. All decently clad. But they represented an image in my mind that God had for me, a wonderful, beautiful, perfect wife. They said, "Pastor, is this your idea of girly pictures?" I said, "No, that's wifey pictures. And mine's going to be wonderful and beautiful." Wasn't long. Here she came. All those young men that saw those pictures looked at her and said, "I bet she's it." I said, why would you do that? I was inspired to recognize God had someone for me. So many things in life come with God's blessing because we get an idea of what does he picture. There wasn't just pictures. I'll tell you another secret about Pastor. They had sticky notes beneath them of different qualities. And they weren't just how she looked or her measurements or anything like that. That was part of it, to be honest with you. That wasn't all of it. There were other qualities there. And I would post them. And why? She had to love the Lord with all of her heart, or I would have trouble loving the Lord with all my heart. We're going to walk as one. Once children, at least two. Willing to work and help me do important stuff. Cares about people, good with people, more social than I am. I remember all kinds of posters. What was the social one? Two girls gabbing. More social than me. He said, I need one to make me come. And you say, why do you? Because this is how you initiate transformation. Make your pictures line up with what God says. And you might attach his word to your picture. And if they don't quite go together, find a picture that matches God's word and you get to have that. See, it has to match his word. And then what do? I'd stand in front of this in a little Depression era medicine cabinet, and on the side were all I'd just stand there and I'd look at that and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for that." Now, how many times in life God gives us the ability to do that? But we let his vision invade our vision and he makes it better. Why? He has super vision. Now, we're about to wrap this up for the day. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now, here's what would happen to me when I'd look in that mirror about things I wanted in a wife. The Holy Spirit was dealing with things he wanted in me. You want her to be like that? Then you need to be like that. You want her to, you're going to get what you plant in yourself. You need to be transforming into, you need to be good enough to get that, if that's who you want. You want to be, and when she walked into church, I thought, I wonder if I've changed enough. Wonder if I've transformed enough. Why? A series of right decisions leads to transformation on anything, and it isn't for everybody else to change to suit you or circumstances to change to suit you. It's for you to change so that people and circumstances in a right way are drawn to you. That's the secret of transformation. And the same image, what is it? An image of God's life picked out for you better than it is right now. Just as from the Lord the Spirit, in other words, he has something to deliver into your life because of right decisions. That's who he is. I want to empower you this morning. If the worship team wants to get back in place, we're gonna close the service by opening the altar. This microphone's funny. I'm adjusting it there. If it makes my ears stick out, you say tumness, okay? Some of you don't know that joke by now. That's my cue if microphone's messing with my ear. Now, Maybe this morning, you just know that you're really dry on the inside and God's been working on you. The Holy Spirit's wonderful in that He will immediately embrace us and do something about that. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you, pray with you. And secondly, you may know that God wants to do something through you. We're getting ready to expand outreach, especially community outreach, like I said. He really wants everybody to be a part of that, but our ability to do that is because we've let Him do something inside of us. When we're all dried out, we don't feel like we're going to be any good to anybody else. Why? We know there's just not a lot there when we turn the pump on. It's going to run out. If that's you, the Holy Spirit's going to reboot, refill, refresh you this morning. But if you feel like you're doing all right, you heard some things today that challenge you, and you want to be that flow into somebody else's life, you want the Lord to begin to use you, why? It's practical things. It's the decision that I am going to be a part of that. I am going to live to do that. I am going to be a part of what God's doing instead of I'm not there yet. It's changing the way we think and the way we talk. He wants to get into you this morning, into your heart, into the reservoir of your innermost being, and increase right decisions so that you end up being a vessel. He calls us vessels of mercy. That means we make the difference for somebody else. That's proof. That's the proof that we're doing okay on the inside. We feel compelled to help others. Stand to your feet this morning. If either of those describe you and you want ministry this morning, you just come to the altar. We're gonna sing a chorus in a second. Miss Sarah is going to dismiss us. We have Josh and Rihanna on vacation and Miss Sarah leading worship today. Thank you, Sarah, for your gift and your willingness to do this and our team. Thank you. But let's just have a worshipful moment before the Lord. And if you feel compelled for either reason, come quickly. This will not take long. Why? This is dunamis power you're asking for. The Lord to frack the well. Do you know what that means? An explosion will go off on the inside of you and make room for the reservoir to fill up again. And there will be a flow into you. See, sometimes life events. I want to address something here. The Holy Spirit's compelling me. Sometimes a life event we didn't expect causes a dry season. Then you need to turn and go to the God who has what you need and let Him give you what He expects to give you to frack the well and open you up so that you don't miss out. Sometimes we have to get that before the next things begin to open up to us. Understand this, in this altar, the Lord respects your privacy. I will ask you to not tell me anything this morning if you come. We'll let the Holy Spirit speak. But He's going to bring into your life an explosive kind of power. It's going to push the debris out of the way that's caused you to dry up. Sometimes there's water there and there's just too much rubble in the well that you can't get to it. But then He has another thing that He wants to do. Is He wants to open up a divine flow, something that is increasing in your life from heaven to make a difference in the lives of others. If you're the head of a household, you want that anointing. You want that Holy Spirit's help. If you are, this is particularly true for any parents, but especially single parents. If you just feel like you've only got you, He wants to let you know you've also got Him. And He's more than enough. And He wants to open up a divine flow to help you. Sometimes when we dry up, our bodies have problems and we get sick. And I'm not talking about a cold or the flu. I'm talking about something the doctor says has to be reversed or it could take you out. If that applies to you, then there's healing in the water of the Holy Spirit for you. He calls it regeneration. Well, if you want ministry, come quickly as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank You in Jesus' name this morning. For the power and moving of Your Holy Spirit, Father, You so desire to do some things for us and in us. So You can do new things through us called new life. Heavenly Father, thank You for an overflowing of abundant life that's to come into the heart of every person that steps out this morning. Father, You know the specifics of what they need. You know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made to receive exactly what You have to give us. There's a perfect compatibility that takes us over into the supernatural. Heavenly Father, thank you for a church that is compelled to live in your best and not settle for less, but be determined. Father, thank you that within this anointing today is the enhancement of hearing your voice, changing our mind and making right decisions one after another after another. Father, thank you that this will be the beginning of a new season, a new direction, a new level of protection. You've called us as laborers into your harvest, and that carries special provision into our lives. Father, I command the blessing to come with the willingness and obedience to serve you. Father, we turn to the Lord Jesus this morning. We're thankful, Jesus, for you making a way for us, for giving us the truth that unlocks divine life. Heavenly Father, let every person here experience upgrades in their expectation, upgrades in decision-making to line up with your will and to come up higher in our understanding of you, so that life will improve and the desert, when you look outside the garden, there's dry places yet uncultivated. You're telling us this morning to move the fence post out a little further, that you intend to expand the territory, that you're determined to give us more of that abundance that you call abundant life. Father, we thank you and we stir our faith to receive it now in Jesus' name. I want you just to lift your hands. We just prayed. I don't feel compelled to lay my hands on you. The word today carried the anointing for you to receive. And honestly, when you got up out of your seat, the Holy Spirit moved to put it in you and upon you. Why? He moves on us to give us what we ask for. I want you to say this: Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability to believe your word. I believe what I've heard. I take hold of it, and I receive the ability to hear your voice more clearly, to make decisions with your Holy Spirit's help. I'll not be deterred. I'll not get off track. My life is getting on track. I'm coming into better than I've had. I'm moving from good to acceptable. And I'm determined to get over into the perfect will of God. And you're determined to be my helper. And where any two agree, as touching anything, it shall be done. So I thank you. I'm in agreement with you, Holy Spirit. And we're in this yoke together. We're pulling in the right direction. And things are going to get better. I thank you for the new beginning. I'm breaking new ground. I'm entering new territory. I'm experiencing new energy. I have a stirring of new hope. I have a stirring of new joy and excitement. And the abundance will come. And the seed is being watered. And it's going to grow. I see it growing abundantly and quickly. Seems even by the moonlight it's growing, because this is being nurtured supernaturally. Heavenly Father, thank you. You are the one that redeems the time. And you cause us to get caught up where we need to be, so that we can be accelerated into furthering your kingdom. Father, help us with all this happening on the inside of us to let the flow be unleashed to the outside. Give us people. Give us a chance. Give us an opportunity to witness and share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.